Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. Today we're joined by Joe Tuiana, and we're going to be talking about the I Love You Bro project, something that, for me personally, just has a special place in my heart because of the message. So, Joe, thank you again for taking the time to come join us.
No, thanks, Aiden. I appreciate your time. Appreciate being here.
So, jumping right into it, let's just kind of talk about the origins of the I Love You Bro project, because it's something that's beautiful that I think people should know about when they first hear about your organization.
Sure. It's an interesting one. I was not ever, I should say, growing up or, you know, educationally in the mental health arena. Never was my intention to do so. I was, I guess, invited or shoved, however you want to see it, into the mental health arena. And this came from, you know, like I should say, you know, before this, most of us have a connection to suicide through a friend, a relative, you know, a loved one, where we're connected to suicide, some more than others, you know. And so, I mean, I've had friends die by suicide in my past. And, you know, it's affected me, of course, but nothing that moved me to make changes to help when it came to suicide. So I had a very best friend die by suicide back in 2018. And it affected me, yes, of course, and still does, but nothing, again, that moved me or to be a part of the, you know, mental health community. And so back in 2022... we were on our, my daughters and I, I'm a single full-time dad, three daughters. We were on our way to a basketball game here in Lehigh. And to get to the basketball game, we have to cross an overpass. And the one that we've crossed, you know, hundreds of times before. And on the way, this particular time and on this day, we noticed a man who was in a suicide crisis on the overpass. And you know, got to a point there where you're like, okay, dude, we're already late for this basketball game. I'm sick with, you know, just got over COVID, had pneumonia, had a cracked rib. The time to, I mean, just keep driving, or do I actually feel like I, you know, can stop and make a difference? And my kids, you know, they screamed, and when they saw him jump up on the ledge, and it was just one of those, you know, fork in the road moments, I feel like, in my life. And so I decided to accept that invitation, I'll just call it, and turned around and pulled up behind his car where he parked in the overpass. And I got out of the car, and, you know, to my girls, they were thinking, you know, Dad's got this, you know, it's like he's got everything else, you know, having raised them and been through other things before, but nothing like this. Nothing could prepare you, what could prepare anyone for a situation like this, even people who are in the field. And so when I stepped out of the car, I felt this, just the weight of the gravity of that moment really hit. I first thought I was going to throw up. I thought I was going to pass out. I was like, please, I cannot let this happen in front of my kids. And so I said a quick prayer saying, please, Jesus, please just let this guy know that he's loved. And it's not like the, you know, Red Sea parted or, you know, water into wine or anything like that, but it felt as if, some of the weight was, I had a little bit more confidence. And so I started thinking, you know, what can I do to make myself a little less intimidating? You know, I'm 6'3", 300-pound Polynesian guy. And so most time when I approach any guy, it can be intimidating. And I was like, man, I could make the situation worse just by looking like I look and being who I am. And so I thought, maybe I just open my arms to him like I wanted to give him a hug, and maybe that will be less intimidating. So I did. I started walking towards him with my arms open. And as I got closer to him, I was thinking, well, what do I say to him when I get there? And the only words that could come out of my mouth was the words, I love you, bro. And so I said that over and over. I repeated it probably 15, 20 times. And I got to a point where I was directly under him and reaching out for him. And I just kept saying, I love you, bro. And he finally noticed me standing there. And he started frantically looking between me and the great beyond. And just super sad, super emotional. And I could feel his emotion. I could feel his pain. We were already connected at that time. And so I started, you know, becoming emotional and crying with him. And I got to a point where I thought, you know, I'm just going to jump up there and grab him. So I jumped up there like I was 18 again and grabbed him, pulled him, carried him over the fence and the protective barrier. And then we slid down together to the safety of the sidewalk. And I just sat there and just cried with him. And again, I love you, bro. I just kept saying it over and over. And it's all that I could say. And thank you, Jesus. It's the only thing that he needed to hear at the time, because it's one of those special, connective, perfect peace moments where we just had an experience of love, man. And it was not shadowed by anything else. And so from this special, incredible, terribly heavy experience, you know, I've connected with this guy. His name is Aaron. He is kind of like my new little brother now. And I've gotten to know him, gotten to know organically kind of what he was going through that day and what led him to that overpass and the process of his brain and the decision-making that he had. And as he, you know, as I've gotten to know him, he was sharing that, you know, he didn't have anyone to turn to. He didn't have any connection with anyone that he could trust to or have, shame-free judgment from. He had no knowledge or wisdom to help himself. He had no resources, money to go to therapy or, you know, to receive any sort of mental health, you know, resources. And so, I mean, I went home and Googled, you know, suicide, mental health, men's Utah search, and I found nothing. Utah has a lot of good, you know, kind of generalized campaigns for mental health, you know, from the AFSP and NAMI, like big organizations that we partner with that are good, but very generalized. There were lots of men's organizations that are good as well, but were very much retreat-based and expensive and inaccessible, you know, months in waiting and expensive. And so I was thinking, this got to be something that Aaron could have had, that should have had, that was accessible and that he could count on, and that he could turn to. And there wasn't, so I said, this is something that I just needed. And again, this experience with him was a shove in the direction in the field of mental health. Whereas I went from being average Joe, single dad, just no business in the mental health field, to this is an absolute passion of mine. There has to be something different, better, something better for men. And as I was Google searching as well, finding that men die, you know, 4 times more than women do by suicide, and also that men make up 80% of all suicides are men. And to find that there was no campaigning, no specific support or resources specifically for men, yet we make up 8 out of 10 suicides, this cannot happen. And so I took all of this passion and empathy that I had for Aaron and created a nonprofit that specifically addressed what he needed, and created the I Love You Bro Project, which specifically addresses men's mental health, suicide prevention for men, and also their ongoing personal development for men. And so it's been a beautiful thing so far, man.
Yeah, it's just, I love everything you guys do. So let's kind of dive a little deeper into some of the resources the I Love You Bro Project offers.
Yeah, it's interesting because, again, addressing what Aaron needed, the first thing was that connection. He didn't have anyone he could turn to or who he was connected with that he could feel could help him. And so foundationally, the first idea that I had, as again, just an average Joe, no experience, no formal education on mental health, just for me, I was thinking, cool, I like to consider myself a professional human being, meaning I've failed so many times in so many different things that I think I have a lot of great wisdom and great street cred. So just as a normal guy, I was thinking, man, well, we have to create a space, and I guess the popular, I should say, verbiage for it is a safe space. Men, we don't really want to hear that. We don't like to be, quote, safe. We're dangerous. We're strong and all that stuff. But a place where it's judgment-free, a space that's judgment-free for men to have connections, to the possibility of connecting with other men via mutual struggle and challenge. And so foundationally, our number one program that we offer are free support groups for men. And so we started with a support group in North Provo where I facilitated. I was a quote-unquote like group leader. I managed that group. And we put out the word, started putting out the word that, you know, this is a place where men can come and share and feel and connect, facilitate connection to address that first concern that Aaron had, that what he was lacking. And so we have our support groups now that are weekly, that are free, that are accessible. And from there, I think it was about 3 months later, we opened our West Jordan support group. Again, the same setup, same weekly, accessible, free. And we've been bringing in guys who have been part of our groups have now become facilitators for our groups. They're like me, not professionals, but so to speak, but professional human beings. Who are attached to the suicide, to that fighting that stigma and how suicide has been super close to them and addiction and other things too. But professional human beings, great guys who we found. And so now we've had these two groups going for close to a year now. And we just started, or I should say, we just announced that we're launching a Pleasant Grove. Pleasant Grove support group that's going to serve the northern part of Utah County. And that's going to be August 8th that we're opening that I'll facilitate. And then we're going to open a South Provo support group. It's going to open August 1st. That I get to have another guy who has come to our groups and shared and connected with me that he's going to start managing that group. But essentially, they are the support groups. We have a diverse group of men and challenges. So we have guys sometimes who are suicidal. It's not often that we will come to the group specifically because they're having some suicide ideation that we'll take them to another room and call 988 with. But for the most part, the majority are just guys, normal, just guys like us. And are experiencing some sort of challenge. A big one right now is divorce. Got a lot of guys going through divorce who are afraid that they're losing their kids and of losing their wives, and guys who are challenged with their own self-worth because of it. And We have guys, lots of guys who are struggling with an addiction, pornography, alcohol, prescription drugs. Guys who are struggling with depression, who can barely get out of their bed in the morning. And also a lot of guys who are have nice marriages. They have a nice life, but for some reason they just cannot open up. They don't feel like they can open up to their loved ones and or to their wives for fear of starting an argument or really feeling like they're a burden to their loved ones. They don't want to be that, and so they'll open up to a group. And so when you're thinking about these support groups, it is just guys feel like there is a stigma with, of course, with these support groups that you've got to be, you must be, there must be something wrong with you, or, you know, or you must be suicidal if you're going to that. That's absolutely not the case. Support groups are just for guys who need connection. You know, we all need it. Every human being needs it. And so what the I Love You Bro Project does with these support groups, we call them Courage to Bro, because it takes courage to show up and to be vulnerable with each other, and through our struggles and hardships, we can still laugh about some of the stuff. We can cry together, but just the most importantly, we can connect through them. And so our free support groups, we've saved lives. I can't even tell you how many times we've had guys who come in who are experiencing something and they've considered suicide. But and that is the good thing. It was great to love Aaron off the ledge, so to speak, but it would be useless and just to say, okay, that was a great story, see you later. I needed to do more. I needed to make sure Aaron didn't get back to the ledge, you know, that it just didn't happen again. And so our support groups are that ongoing pressure release for guys. Every week they can, you know, it could be a little valve that they can just release a little bit of pressure when they show up and come to our support groups. Once a month, each group will have an activity, a social activity, where they can go together to do either a service project together. In West Jordan, we recently helped an old family move and clean up their house for them. In Provo, we went bowling, another activity together. For a couple of reasons, we have those. Obviously, we want to serve the community, but we also want to get the guys out. Sometimes they don't want to leave their house. And so it's a great way for them to experience some social and kind of make it a little uncomfortable for them while pushing them to, you know, kind of get out there, but getting out together and socially and showing that we're still there to support each other. And so it's a great – our support groups are foundationally what we – it's our bread and butter. On top of our support groups, our next resource are called our Let's Grow Bro program, which is our professional workshops that we have, where I bring in clinicians, professionals, just people who are masters in their craft and what they do, to teach our guys or men about some things that we just don't have access to learning about unless we YouTube or Google. And some of those things, like our last workshop, was on grief and grief management. I brought in actually the I Love You Bro Project's board clinician, who's just a master instructor on grief and men specifically on grieving. And he came in and he did a workshop on how we can grieve together and how we should grieve. Before him, we had a workshop on breathing, proper breathing. Breathing techniques. I brought in a guy, master teacher in breathing. So we have these workshops that teach a variety of different things. Our next one's going to be on father relationships. Of course, with school starting back up next month, and how we can become better dads. We have one coming up on anger management. We're finding a lot of guys who are struggling with hot heads and best practices for that. So these are things that we never thought that we would need necessarily to learn about, but that we should learn about. And so things that help keep us, you know, keep us off the ledge, so to speak, but we can learn to better the life that we have, and we can go home. And I guess the big thing is to be able to go home and utilize those things that we've learned and share them with our families, just to make us better in the home and in our communities. And our third program that we have, our third resource that we have is called You and Me Bro, the You and Me Bro program, where we do offer free talk therapy for men who can't afford it. And to qualify for it, men have to attend six of our support groups. And so it takes a guy who's really going to be active and is going to be involved in his own mental health journey, and he's got to show it. He's got to put in the effort. And a couple reasons, you know, to put some accountability, you know, on them to be active with their mental health. But also, you know, when we offer these free sessions, it's up to five free sessions with our board clinician, is that they learn, you know, they have this talk therapy with him one-on-one, and then they can give back to the group and give back that value that they've learned from their talk therapy. And it makes our groups even better as we move forward, too. So we can make all of these awesome programs, Aiden. We can make them free and accessible. That's my vision. It's a free, accessible care for our guys. But the guys still, I can't make them show up. I can't force guys to be there and to do the work. I still have to show up. We have windows in our offices. One of them in our West Jordan location, I can see guys. And I put their car in park. And then there's this come to Jesus moment where they're looking at their phone, you know, the invite or the flyer. And they're looking at the door, and they're looking at the phone, looking at the door, like they're processing, do I want to make this step? And do I have it in me to get out of my car and go in? Or am I just going to reverse, put this thing in reverse and go home? And I'll tell you, 7 out of 10 times they reverse and they go home. And it's sad. I can't run out there and say, hey, you know, guys gotta make that effort. And what's beautiful about it lately is we've been having a lot of guys putting it in park, turning off their car and making that walk. Our groups are, again, we're expanding because they're getting larger and larger. We need to have more accessibility for men. But there's still, we should have, every group should be packed, should be. So, you know, if we made it even more, I should say, if we gave more permission to men to be there without shame or judgment, our groups we simply couldn't handle the amount of guys that we should have in our groups. And so as we've been growing, we are seeing guys who are, it is a trend. It's trending in the right direction, meaning that they're opening up a little bit more, and then they are coming, and it might be take another week for them to start sharing at a group, and then maybe another one for them to actually start really getting into it and making it part of their life. That is the goal for us, is to have guys come regularly. They don't have to come every week, but just to make it an accessible support for their, like a valve for their pressure, just to release some of that pressure.
And just, that's an incredible set of programs you guys are offering. And kind of on that point where you see people parking and really have to think about it, that first step is often the hardest one for people to take, because that's when you really start thinking about all that kind of stigma that surrounds men's mental health. And kind of building off that, how do you think, in general, how can we best move to break that stigma that we experience around mental health?
That's a great question, and it's a great challenge, and it's the biggest thing blocked. With everything suicide, stigma is the number one thing that is stopping or halting people from getting help. And so with men's mental health, it's even extra challenging because, you know, you first identify why there's stigma. Specifically with men, we have that provide, preside, protect mentality. So those are three things that all men, you know, society has said, okay, all men have to be those three things. And depending on who you're talking to, those three things can be inflated. You know, we have that big machismo mentality where you got to look, your body has to look a certain way or you're not a protector, you know. You have to have, you know, those abs and just that form and physique. You have to make a certain amount of money and have a certain car and house as a provider, or else you are failing as a provider. You've got to have just this killer mentality that, you know, shove everyone aside. Don't show weakness to be that presider, to be that leader that men are supposed to be. That machismo side of stigma is heavy. And I'll tell you, when men don't feel like they are hitting those three things, say they're making enough money, and they feel like they're a good leader, but if they don't have that physique, if they're missing one of those three things or multiple, then the men start questioning their value, their worth, and men don't need to have our data shows men don't need to have a negative mental health history like women do to achieve suicide ideation. Women, you can tell many times they've had, women suffer four times, five times more with suicide attempts than men do. Men are 80% of suicide. So you can see women suffer more ideation, but men suffer more suicide, so the completion of that suicide ideation, which means men don't need a lot of things to happen. They just need a few little things. Few like life-changing things to get them to suicide ideation. Example would be one of our guys in our Provo, North Provo group. He's a millionaire. He is ripped, this guy. And he heard about us through a golf tournament. And he recently had lost a lot of clients with his job. And his wife is used to a certain lifestyle, and she said, "I'm taking the kids." And he just those two things. Okay, my job is now in jeopardy, and now I can't see my kids. I guess my worth and my value to society is gone, and it put him immediately into suicide ideation. That's a normal guy. I'm just saying, he's a normal guy, and he's just had these two big things happen. So when we're talking about stigma and what we can do, that's the first thing we need to talk about, are just these men, or men in general, who have society's painted a picture on what we need to do and what we need to look like and be like to be real men, quote unquote. And so the challenge for the I Love You Bro Project is not just creating these great programs for men, but getting these guys to show up. How do we do it? And the only thing that I have that we've come up with all the experience and the data we've collected, surveying and the work that I've done, is require permission from other men to be vulnerable, to show feelings and to share feelings. And by permission, it's like an unspoken permission. For example, in our support groups, when a guy does make that effort, gets out of his car, does come in, takes a seat, and joins us, he receives that permission when he sees other men sharing, and he sees other men venting and their struggles. And men, through that struggle, men receive permission, like, wow, I'm not alone. Wow, I don't need to shelf all this stuff inside of me and bury it. I can actually talk about them with these guys, like these guys are doing. So there is the ultimate answer to stomping out stigma is it's going to have to be men. Women do a great job of inviting men a lot of times. Oh, you can open up, you can share. Men, we don't take that seriously. We'll be like, yeah, we're good. You know, we're okay. Don't worry about it. And then women kind of carry on, and they're great sharing with their sisters and friends, and they're great with opening up and whatnot. But with men, we'll just shelf that. And it requires not just some men, but all men need to prescribe to that, you know, I can share. I can have these feelings. I can show these feelings, and I can share these feelings. And it's going to take men to make a real difference to do it.
Now, Joe, just a great organization overall. What would be the best way to get in contact with you guys?
Yeah, that's a good question. The best way is to, I would say first, is to follow us on social media. So on Instagram and Facebook, we are very, very active, post daily. That would be on Instagram, would be I Love You Bro Project. You can follow. On Facebook, it's just I Love You Bro Project. And you'll see through there are flyers for our support groups. You'll see flyers for upcoming events and workshops, and really just open invitations for these guys to either, you know, they can call us, email us if they have any questions, or you can go to iloveyoubroproject.org, see a calendar of events that we have there, and just all of these, learn about all of the what I've talked about, all the people on our board and team who are pushing this to happen, and how they can, you know, people can get involved through supporting us or just participating with us. And so it requires a huge amount of a huge village, I should say, to make these things happen. And we're still building and still starting. And so I do get a lot of messages from people through the website talking about, you know, their stories and, you know, how their son or their dad or their brother or friend is struggling. Can we reach out to them? And my answer is always, you know, we would love for them to attend our support groups. If it's something where they're, you know, suicidal, they should call 988. And the person who needs to do it is that loved one, to sit with them and humanize 988, sit with them and go through that process with them. Because that's just what we're going to do in our support groups is sit with them and be with them, just like I did with Aaron on the overpass. And so for the normal person, I should say, the woman or the mom or the concerned friend, instead of kind of pushing the responsibility on professionals, it's, you know, a lot of that responsibility, they can take that and spearhead that. And they are already connected to their loved one. Just to have, I've had so many calls of, Joe, can you go talk to, no, I can't do that. I don't know them. And I can't, that's part of my own mental health. My own boundaries are with the I Love You Bro practices. I will actively do these groups, these programs for men. But it's going to be our loved ones who need to spearhead the help and inviting them to come to our groups, telling them about it and be active about talking about our programs and driving them there if you have to. And, you know, we've had that happen a lot. It's a beautiful thing still happening, and we're still growing.
Now, Joe, unfortunately, we are running out of time, but is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Yeah, it's been a great conversation. Talking most, of course, just me doing a lot of talking. But if you're listening to this, what I always want to leave is, you know, for my guys, especially for the guys, you are not alone. You're never alone. Please don't think that you are. Please do not connect your value, your worth, to your sobriety or your whatever addiction or to whatever challenge you have, to your job or to your health. You know, your value, your worth never changes. It never does. It is eternal and comes from a special place that we cannot possibly comprehend. Now, having said that, your happiness right now, in the middle of thick things, it's tough to think about this can get better. I understand that. But it's going to take you first understanding your value and your worth, and then it's going to take you right after to show up, man. Show up, come to our groups. Show up there. It's going to be inconvenient. It's going to be uncomfortable, but you can show up and it will help. People are saying, oh, reach out to someone. I know you don't want to do that. It's uncomfortable. And if you're not going to do it, then reach out to us. Come to our group. Come to our support groups where we're perfect strangers for you. We're a brotherhood of listeners, and we can be with you there, okay? You are not ever alone. If you do have a trusted someone, of course call them and lean on them and lean into that conversation. If you don't, go to visit iloveyouproject.org, find out where our next support group is, and come and join us there, okay? But your value and your worth never changes. You are of heavenly beginnings, and that's where you belong. So let's start healing together. We'll struggle through it together through fire, and that's what we do here at I Love You Grow Project.
And that's just a beautiful message. Again, that was Joe Tuiana from the I Love You Bro Project. So if you want to get in touch with them, iloveyoubroproject.org, or you can find them on social media. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM or 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.